Amen. There is a word from the Lord. There is a word from the Lord. And if you would turn with me to Hosea chapter 4, verses 6. Hosea chapter 4, verses 6. And it is our custom that when we read the word of God, we stand in reverence, amen, to our Lord and Savior. And if you found it, that particular passage of scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let me say that again. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Speaking on the subject, the more you know, the farther you go. Or the more you know, the further you'll grow. Amen? And as I was looking at this particular passage of scripture, I was reading a book and it had an article in it that really caught my attention. And it was a college English professor that gave his students an 86-question test to show them just how lacking they were in basic general knowledge, or what they thought they knew just wasn't so. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, I promise you. He wasn't doing it to say you guys are a bunch of ignorant college students, but he wanted to help them see that they had a problem that they could no longer hide. Now, these questions that he gave them, they weren't hard questions. And to add to that, it wasn't as if the information wasn't available to them. They were questions about the world around them, facts about people, facts about geography, and facts about life in general. And these were some of the answers that he got to those questions. Charles Darwin invented gravity. Cape Town is in the United States. Mark Twain invented the cotton gin. Camp David is in Israel. Socrates is an American Indian. Belfast is in Egypt. And this one was my favorite. Christ was born in the 16th century. Now, most students answered incorrectly far more times than they answered correctly. Some people wrote, I don't know, 86 times or 80 times or 62 times. And it made me think, what if the body of Christ was given an 86-question test based on basic biblical principles? How would we do? I think the Bible study crew got a taste of that in December when we had a quiz on the nativity story. And what we thought we knew just wasn't so. Amen? And so it seems like when it comes to the Word of God, we have taken on this attitude that if somebody doesn't think for me or do things for me, I'm not really interested, nor do I have a real desire to learn on my own. We believe because someone said so, not because we know so. T.D. Jakes said this. You know, Creflo Dollar broke it down like this. Boy, Michael Todd said, we got to do it this way. Stephen Furtick said, if you do it like this, 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 and this, or one of my favorite ones, the bishop said. Now, as I'm saying this, I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with T.D. Jakes. I'm not saying that anything's wrong with Creflo Dollar or Michael Todd or Stephen Furtick or even the bishop. The question is, do we know the word of God for ourselves? You know, we get caught up in this thing called tradition. Well, we've been doing it this way this long, and we're not going to change now. And so we'd rather build our faith on our experiences, our emotions, our feelings, rather than build on the rock, which is the Word of God. And then we're astonished when things aren't going right in our lives. Everyone around us seems to be getting blessed. Yet it seems like the enemy continues to get the best of us, and we find ourselves stumbling in our Christian walk. Let me back up real quick, because a lot of times we blame a lot of stuff on the enemy. And the devil made me do it. Nah. That was all you. 100% all you. And so when we look throughout the Bible, God's repeated command is this: know me. How do you know him? You got to be in the scriptures. Study me. How can you study him? You got to be in the scriptures. How can we obey him? We got to be in the scriptures. How do we grow in him? We got to be in the scriptures. And so throughout the Word of God, know me, study me, obey me, and grow in me. And in doing that, we find that our hearts and minds would be set on him, and we find ourselves not sinning against God. Amen? And then it allows us to defend our position when asked or faced with attack. And so how can we be equipped and walk in something that we don't know anything about? How can we defend against something that we don't know anything about? You know, when I look at we used to live in Utah, and most of you know that that's Mormon country. And the Mormons would come to our house. Actually, the Mormons actually helped us move one day. And you know, that was part of their strategy to start having the conversation about Joseph Smith. But they know Joseph Smith like the back of their hand. They know it really well. When I look at Jehovah's Witness, they know what they believe very well, to the point that they can almost convince you that their doctrine is right. Notice I said almost. And so when you look at their methodology of understanding and knowing what they believe, they do a good job of doing it. Amen? But it seems like when it comes to the Christian, we have an issue with getting in and knowing and understanding the Word of God. And so when we're ignorant and we reject the Word of God, we live a life under slavery and in bondage. Watch this. We really forfeit the best that God has for us. Let me say that again. We forfeit the best that God has for us when we are ignorant or we reject the Word of God. Jesus said that I came that you would have life and life more abundantly. And if you would continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? And so the way I see it, there should be a clear-cut difference in the life of a believer compared to that of a non-believer. But I'm confused, because sometimes I can't tell the difference between a believer and a non-believer. And at the root of the issue is, do we know the Word of God? Are we applying the Word of God to our lives? Amen? Amen. And so one of the things that really, or just an example, we had a couple that Jessica and I was counseling, and they were having some marital issues, and us typical guys, he said, "Well, my wife won't submit to me." I said, "Ooh boy." He said, "The scripture says submit." I said, "Ooh man, obviously you don't have a true understanding of what that scripture means." Amen. And because you don't have a true understanding, you operate in a way in which you reject the word of God. And so if you look at that scripture in Ephesians, it says that wives submit to your husband. But if you read the rest of that pericope, the rest of it applies to the man. Amen. And to be truthful, I've never seen a woman having a problem submitting to a godly man. And she's not submitting to you. She's submitting to the Christ that's in you. I helped a couple people right there. Amen. So, brother, stop telling your wife to submit to you. Become the image of Christ. Watch this. And they'll naturally submit. Amen. The Bible says, this is one of my favorite ones. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. You guys know my go-to. We real quick to go to Oprah Winfrey. We real quick to go to Dr. Phil to help me fix this, 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 and this in my life. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I see the people in the congregation, and I'm forgetting to talk to the camera. I am so sorry. I'm going to talk to the camera. I'm going to talk to the camera. So we're talking about seeking ye first the kingdom of God, but we'll have a situation show up in our lives, and the last thing we do is seek the kingdom of God. We use that as a last resort. After everything else has messed up, then we seek the kingdom of God. And when you do that, you're really rejecting the word of God, because it gives clear instruction that you, me, should seek ye first the kingdom of God, amen, and all his righteousness, and then all these other things, they'll work themselves out. But we have to seek him first. And this is a good segue to, you know, relate what was going on back then. And so just from a historical standpoint, when we look at the context of the passage of scripture, that happened almost 3,000 years ago. Yet it reflects a principle that is just as applicable today as it was back then. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And again, this isn't because of ignorance. It's because we've rejected the knowledge that God has made available to us. Amen? And so if we look at verses 1 and 2 in that particular passage of Scripture, we see that Israel is in a bad, bad, bad state. And so if you look at verses 1 and 2, it says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. That sound familiar? He says, by swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. And God, through Hosea, is bringing these charges against Israel. And again, as I look out in our world today, we're not too far off from what was going on back then. We see divisiveness. We see different agendas within the schools, within the local, state, and federal government to stand up and oppose God. Amen? And what it's doing is it's breeding division. It's impacting our children. It's impacting us. And you want to stand up against what you see is wrong, but when you don't have a knowledge of the word of God, it's hard to stand up against that which you see is wrong and be able to call it out. Amen? And so the question now becomes, how did they get to that state? Remember, this is God's chosen nation. And now they're at a point where they're being indicted for their sin. So how do you move from being in right standing with God to the point where he's indicting you because of your sin? Amen? Point one, when we don't have a knowledge of God operating in our life, we do what's right in our own eyes. When we don't have knowledge of God operating in our lives, we do what's right in our own eyes. Look at Judges 17 and 6. Judges 17 and 6. It said, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And so if you go back and you look through the book of Judges, what you would find is Israel would do what was right. When they had a judge, when they had a godly judge operating in the land, and then when the judge died, you'd find them doing what was right in their own eyes. And what would happen is God would allow them to be enslaved, in bondage, because they were doing what was right in their own eyes. And then they would cry out to God, and then God would come help them. He'd send them another judge. But then it got to the point where God was like, hey, evidently y'all ain't got this right. You do what you want to do, then you get in trouble, and then you call for me, and then I come deliver you. And so it got to a point where he just let them be in bondage for a little while because their hearts wasn't right. How is that relevant today? We do us. We do what we want to do when we get good and ready. And then when we get into a bind, we want to reach out and call to God. God will take us on the mountaintop, and then we like, yo, God, we got it ourselves. I'm a do me right now. I know the word of God says this, but I'm doing me right now because I'm feeling myself. And then we find ourselves in a predicament. And then God, please, God. If you get me out of this situation, I'll give you my whole heart. And God brings you out of the situation. And then you say, all right, God, my man, I'm going to do me. And so we have to be careful that we're not doing that. God has to have our whole heart. And a way that he has our whole heart is the word of God is operating in our lives. Amen? And so, you guys ever tried to put something together and they had an instruction manual that came with it? I'm guilty. I got a grill and I was putting the grill together and I was like, oh, I don't need the instructions. I'm good. I can just look at it and put it together. And then I got stuck. And what did you think I have to do? I had to go read the instructions. Here's the crazy thing. The instructions was there the whole time. They were there the whole time. I rejected it because I thought that I had it together and I could do it. Amen? How many of us are like that? Proverbs 14 and 12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but, however, comma, it ends in the way of death. There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Amen? So humanistic wisdom in our ways is a poor, poor, poor basis for what's determining what's true and false, right or wrong, unworthy or worthy. Amen? Have you guys ever heard me talk about the economy of God? The economy of God. And when we look at the economy of God from a spiritual perspective, it's almost in direct conflict with how the world operates. But when you operate in the economy of God, what I like about the economy of God is it works in the spirit and it works in the world. Let me give you an example. In our economy, we talk about supply and demand, right? In order to have a supply, or in order to have a demand, there must be a supply. Well, in the kingdom of God, it's opposite. If you put a demand on heaven, God will supply. The problem is we don't put a demand on heaven. That's why James says you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask amiss. Amen? Kingdom economics. Here is another one. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. A lot of people struggle with the concept of seed time and harvest. But in order to have a harvest, you got to sow seed. If you want your grass to be green, you got to put seed in the ground. Amen? And so what the in the world, we're talking about take, 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 take. God says give, 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 give. And I always remember that old adage, we can't beat God's giving. It's better to give than to receive. And as we give, we see how God takes care of us. I want to be very clear that I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. We don't preach prosperity gospel here. We don't preach that if you give $10, you're going to win the lottery. That's not what we preach. We do preach if you sow seed, God will meet your needs. Some 30, some 60, sometimes 100-fold. Amen? And so, again, when we look at the economy of God, it's different from how the world operates. Again, but that's operating in the knowledge of God. Amen? Next point, when we don't have the knowledge of God, it impacts our seed. This is critical. It's one thing for me to mess up and I suffer the consequences, but it's a horse of a totally different color when I mess up and it impacts my seed. Amen? And so when we don't have the knowledge of God, or when we reject the word of God, we pass our consequences on to our seed sometimes. Look at the latter part of that verse. It says, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. I will also forget your children. That's a tough one for me. Amen? Because I want my seed to be blessed and prosperous. And I don't want to do anything in my life that would impact my seed. Amen? Look at Exodus 34 and 7. It says, who keeps loving kindness for thousands? Who forgives iniquities, transgressions, and sin? Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. God says, I'll touch your seed to the third and the fourth generations. And so some of us is wondering what's going on in our lives. We may still be suffering the consequences of our great-great-grandparents. Amen? And so it is critical to have a knowledge of God's word, because in this instance, it's the difference between success and failure, life and death of our seed. And I don't know about you, but I'm determined to protect my seed. Amen? I don't know what I would do if Micah or Autumn or Alexis had to deal with the consequences of my sin. And I know many of you have children. Think about that. Do you want your seed having to deal with the consequences of your sin because you failed to have the knowledge of God and you rejected the word of God? Amen? Amen. Third point, having the knowledge of God helps to resist sin and detect and confront error. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." When we don't have a knowledge of God, spiritually we become weak and vulnerable, and the enemy can devour us with ease. He'll devour us with false doctrine, with false prophets, false teachers, and the many things of this world. And his primary tactics is what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Let me say that again. His primary tactics are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. When you look at all the sins that you've committed, if we ran it down to root, I guarantee you it would fall within one of those three categories: lust of the eye, pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. Amen? But watch this. Psalms 119:105 says this, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? And so to walk safely in the woods at night, we need a light. Amen? Do me a favor real quick. Cut off all the lights. See, look, it's dark in here. But if I use the word of God as my light, it allows me to navigate the dark places in my life. Amen? And we all have some dark places in our life. Some of us struggle with fornication. Some of us struggle with pornography. Some of us struggle with drug addiction. But when we have the word of God, sorry, I didn't mean to put that in y'all face like that. When we have the word of God operating in our life, it allows us to navigate through those dark places. Amen? When we have the knowledge of God, it helps us to detect and confront error. There are a lot of things that are being preached. There are a lot of things that are being taught that could knock us off course. But when you know the word of God for yourself, when the word of God is in your heart, you don't have to nudge somebody and say, "Was that right? Was that true?" You literally have like an eternal alarm clock that goes off in you that says, "Oh no, that wasn't Bible, that was bum scoop." Amen? And so it's so important that we have the word of God in our life so we're not tossed to and fro from faith to faith and doctrine to doctrine. Amen? We can stand our ground when we see error. Amen? Another point, it helps give substance to our faith. It helps give substance to our faith. Not only do we believe the word of God, we start walking in what the Bible says. We walk in the knowledge of God, and our whole outlook changes. You know, when our life forecast looks cloudy with a chance of hail, we can say, "Never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed baiting for bread." We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen? God is a strong tower. The righteous run into him and are saved. Jehovah Jireh, the God of provision. Look, I know I'm going to say it wrong. It's not Jehovah Rapha, it's Jehovah Rapha, right? Pastor taught us how to say the names of God right. I just ain't learned like I'm supposed to. But we can call on the God that heals. We can call on the God of peace. We can call on the Lord our banner, right? When we have the word of God in our life, we walk it out. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to have any issues in our life. You know, Jesus said that there's going to be tribulation in this life. But take joy because I've overcome the world. So when my whole world turns upside down, because I have a knowledge of God, I can have peace in the midst of a storm. Amen? Amen. Last point. Helps to stabilize us. Knowledge of God helps to stabilize us during the time of testing. It helps to stabilize us during a time of testing. I just said that Jesus said that there would be tribulation in this life. James says to count it all joy when you face trials. This tells me that we're going to go through some things in this life. And so what I like about it, if we stay in the knowledge of God, God will let it rain in your life, but he's really prepping you to rain. Amen? Let me say that again. It may rain in your life, but he's prepping you to rain. Amen? And so when people are attacking you at work, the word of God says, touch not my anointing, do my prophet no harm. Now, I know for some of y'all that's hard, because when you're getting beat up on work, I know some of y'all prayers is, God, take them out. And I don't mean on a date. You know what I mean? And so, but the word of God says that I'm a present help in the time of trouble. He also says that vengeance is mine. So we can't take vengeance in our own hands. I know that they did you filthy. And look, it's taken everything within you not to, because I know you want to do it, but the word of God says, vengeance is mine. And so we have to pray for those who do us dirty. Amen? We have to bless those who are talking about us. And every time we even have a thought to do that supervisor wrong, we are rejecting the word of God. Every time we get even Stephen with one of our coworkers, we are rejecting the word of God. Amen? Anytime that you want to do you, you reject the word of God. Amen? And there are consequences for when we reject the word of God. That consequence is we perish. That consequence is God forgets our seed. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to perish. And I'm going to talk to you about perish in a second. And I don't want my seed to be impacted, because I won't submit and surrender myself to the word of God. Amen? Let me give you this perish, and then we're going to get out of here. But before I do that, I'd be remiss if I don't tell you the 2:15 special. Amen? How can we get to the knowledge of God? The 2:15 special. Study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly, dividing the word of truth. And so we have to get into that word, and it'll set us up for success. Pastor gave a dissertation 2 weeks ago about how to break down and study your word so that you would have knowledge of the truth. Amen? And so when I look at the Word of God, it's a lifeline, and without it, we'll perish. I told you we was going to talk about that word perish because I want to bring it all together. And so when we look at that word perish in this context, it means to be like God. Let me say that again. It means to be like God. And so when we don't have the knowledge of God, we lose the ability to be like Him. Amen? Because it's a misrepresentation of who He is. But we are called to be in the likeness of Him. We cannot be in the likeness of Him if we don't know the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So the more you know, the further you go. The more you know, the further you'll grow. Amen? It is important that we know and understand the Word of God, because without it, we perish. Amen? Amen.